This is the Team Builders Podcast, building better teams.
Welcome back to the Team Builders Podcast. My name is Jonathan, and along with my two wonderful co-directors, Jerry and Stephen, this podcast explores excellence and high performance in teams and the way in which team building and engagement can positively impact on that pursuit. We bring over 20 years of team building experience, delivering hundreds of corporate team engagements every year across the UK and beyond. If you're looking for practical insights and inspiration to help you build a stronger team, you've come to the right place.
This is the Team Builders Podcast with Stephen Haseley, Jerry Crowley and Jonathan Haseley.
All right, folks, welcome back to the Team Builders Podcast. An exciting episode today as we are joined by a wonderful friend of ours, Lindsay Ferguson. Lindsay, how are you?
I'm great, thanks. Thanks for having me along today.
Very welcome. It's lovely to see you again and great to have you with us. I'm, of course, joined by my two usual co-hosts, Jerry and Stephen. How are you, gents?
Good, Jonathan. I've reached 3,000 metres in my rowing.
Oh, that's impressive,
yes,
mate.
Yeah, in one go, without a break. Thank you.
Stephen, how are you keeping, mate?
Looking forward to the podcast ahead, Jonathan. We've got a queen here in the audience, and I feel like a king, a burger king.
Yeah, lovely. Stephen always gets a punt in for some sort of product placement. Lindsay, just before we kick off, I'm going to talk to the audience a little bit about who you are and where you're from and what you're up to. Lindsay is the MICE Commercial Director for Clarent Hospitality. Clarent Hospitality are the market leaders in hotel management and asset management in the UK and Europe, trading under prestigious international brands such as Hilton, Marriott, Accor, many of which our audience will have heard about. With over 3,000 employees, the group places people at the heart of its business with a focus on developing talent, inspiring future leaders, and creating rewarding career pathways. Clarent's people-led culture is built around collaboration, accountability, and service excellence, and all things that I hope to tie into some of our chat today. Lindsay, a little bit about yourself too. I know we're excited to hear more about it, and I believe that you started your first forays into hospitality as a kitchen porter at just 15 years old. But for now, you are currently responsible for leading the MICE commercial activity within Clarent Hospitality. You work with general managers and on-site teams to improve M&E performance. 2025 marks Lindsay's 24th year in hospitality. Does that mean we can give away your age? I shouldn't have done that.
No, everybody's shocked.
Never!
Everybody's shocked.
Never. Yeah, I tell you what, the oil of Ole is working incredibly. Unbelievable. Like I said, you started as kitchen porter at the age of just 15, Lindsay. So how did you get into it?
Yes, it was just for a bit of extra pocket money, to be honest. Mum and dad were always workers. Let's get out and work. So yeah. I started in a wee hotel in Coatbridge called The Georgian.
Okay.
And washing the dishes, washing the pots. And I always looked for that next step. So at that point, it was a waitress and said, I want to do that. You know, so that was the next move. So quickly got promoted to waitress. And then I got upgraded to a Hilton man to work in the Hilton behind the bar.
Okay.
And she says, I'll get you into the Hilton.
that was
my big, you know, claim to fame, working at the Hilton and as a breakfast waitress. And then it just stemmed from there. As a breakfast waitress, thought, I want to work behind the bar, went to the bar. And then my general manager said, you know, you're always chatty with the customers. You've got a bit of kind of gift of the gab.
Yeah.
Do you want to come into the office and do Christmas? And I thought, why not? Give it a bash.
Went in,
did Christmas, thought I want to do events, did that for a long, long time. And I used to always see the salespeople and think, that looks quite easy.
It is.
Because I used to see them with their suits on, taking people for lunch.
It's
quite good. And then got the shock of my life in my first ever proactive sales role when I got a big yellow pages and said, there, make 100 cold calls.
Oh, yeah.
So the reality check.
That's a panic.
And then started my journey in sales. And then into a commercial role. So it's been quite a journey.
Yeah, no doubt.
But good one because I've experienced all of the different roles. So I think that's really important because you've been there, you've done that.
100%.
So it's been a good journey.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, it informs it, doesn't it? Listen, Jerry, I think you might want to jump in with the first question for us, for Lindsay, if that's okay.
Lindsay, I've got a quick question. Could you tell us a bit about your role at Clarent and any trends you're able to share in the MICE world? We deal a lot with conferences side of it and events, of course, but not all of what you do.
No, absolutely. So my role at Clarent, I only started just in the 1st of April. So I've went from a hotel-based role into a regional role. Yeah. So looking after the commercial strategy for M&E across 10 properties, which is really exciting. So some of the trends, I mean, there's so many different things going on at the minute, but I recently attended a workshop for the trends in M&E for the Gen Z. Oh. So that was really interesting. I don't actually fit into that category, but I did attend.
You're working on it.
So we spoke about a lot of things that we covered, and it was interesting because TikTok had come up about advertising for M&E and advertising for meetings and events and advertising as a whole, and where do people look for a venue in M&E. And I would always have said you would be looking on different M&E sites, or, you know, word of mouth, or you'd be phoning up and getting quotes. But a lot of people were saying TikTok.
Right.
So that was quite an eye-opener for us. So we've kind of took that back to see, is there something that we can do with TikTok? And we all know TikTok is massive.
Yeah.
Another thing that's a big trend, not just in M&E and everywhere, but it's slowly coming into M&E, is AI.
Yeah.
So some of the stuff that we're potentially looking at just now, and other hotel companies are looking at, from not just M&E, but for food and beverage, you know, ticket sales, leisure sales. So AI is a huge thing.
Yeah, yeah.
So that's been interesting
it's a monster,
to start to.
Isn't it? Yeah, I have noticed that myself. A couple of you know, influencers, if you like, have been going around to the best coffee shop or the best hotel breakfast, or, you know, that type of trend, and got quite a following, some of them. So.
Yeah, well, one of the things that we did, interestingly, at this event is we typed in, it was as an example. So, for example, so you were looking for a hotel in Coventry or a meeting room, just typing into the search bar in TikTok, meeting rooms or a hotel's Coventry, and then looking at some of the influencers, they were taking you a walk through. And that's what you want to see, don't you?
Yeah.
Well, not just like a review in words, you want to see
visual.
That journey, you want to see, oh, that looks nice, or I like that. So that was a huge thing. So, I mean, there's lots of different trends. Another big trend that we spoke about is storytelling through the meetings and events journey. So when a delegate arrives, you know, is there a story behind the meeting space? Is it attached to the city, perhaps? Or, you know, is there a story with the food, where the food comes from? Or where they purchase things?
Yeah.
Or is there a story behind the design? And that came up a lot.
The heritage of it.
I think that's really interesting as well, because people want that journey now. They want to know where you've sourced your food, or they want to know about the design of the building. So a lot of interesting trends.
I feel that myself in what I see, but when you hear it from, you know, your perspective, it's actually a different perspective than I would have, because generally more of a customer, more of a, as opposed to how can it help your business?
Yes, exactly. Yes.
Lindsay, we talk a lot about culture on our podcast, about the culture and the vision and the values of a business. How do you think, as a high level professional salesperson, a marketing person, you can maintain that culture throughout all of the team? Because you're working with a team of people from the finance department, the operations department, et cetera, et cetera. How do you maintain that positivity and really rely on those unique selling points of your properties? How do you do that?
For me, it's a kind of old saying, and it's something that I kind of live and breathe by, but I'm proud to be a commercial empath. it's got its advantages and it's got its disadvantages, I've got to say, but I'm coming up for 40 and I'd like to think I'm living and I'm learning, right? The oil of Uli is working, I know that. But for me, it's treating everybody the same. Treat the kitchen porter the same as the CEO, you know, and keeping that alive. It's also leading with empathy and kindness, warmth, you know, all those. I know that you need to be strict at times as well and have boundaries and rules, but I think it's knowing your people. And everything that I've learned throughout my career has been taught to me through all the different people that have either been above me leading me, or the people that have actually just come into the business and that are new. So I would always say it's got to be a people first approach.
Sure.
Do you think that your career path, you know, has informed that, the fact that you mentioned that you've been in all these different roles and done all these different things, do you think that's been particularly helpful in that empathy that you're able to share?
I think it has, and I think that's what hospitality is absolutely amazing for, because you need to put on all the different hats, you know. So whether you're having a bad day in reception and there's a queue, you know, you've got to you've got to keep that
smile.
You've got to make sure that you're understanding, you know, the guest might have lost their confirmation, or, you know, the guest might have had a 7-hour journey, or, you know, you've always got to be on top of that. But then it's putting that different hat on when you maybe go into a meetings and events office and you're working under pressure in there. So I do believe that the people in hospitality do have lots in their toolkit. They've got lots of skill set that they could potentially use in other industries, and I've certainly learned that along the way.
Yeah, for sure. And in fact, that was, you know, it leads perfectly to what I was, you know, going to chat to you about as well. Things that other sectors or other organisations can learn from hospitality, and I guess it's some of what you've just mentioned there.
Absolutely. I think it's really all about flexibility as well. And I know it does exist in other industries, but I can always remember, you know, if you were finishing your shift at 3 o'clock, but the shift hasn't gone to plan, you wouldn't bat an eyelid about staying on for an extra 2 hours to help your teammates out. And this was mainly when I worked in operations,
yeah.
And that still exists. You know, I think that the negative part of that are the hours in hospitality. I don't think that kind of trend has changed,
yeah.
Especially with chefs.
Yeah.
And kitchens and things, but it was always a kind of team-led environment, you know, let's help each other out, you know, right, well, you're finished, you're not, I'll stay on and I'll give you a hand, and that type of culture. And I think that's always what's kept me there, is having that. I mean, I met all my closest friends 25 years ago in my first job,
yeah.
And we're all still best friends. There's 6 of us and we meet up twice a year, and there's only 2 that's left in hospitality. The other girls are like, we're getting out of this, you know. But we always talk about those core memories, and the 2 annual trips, same things, we talk about, remember that?
Yeah,
you know, remember that night when we had to work here and do this and that happened, and that's glued us together, yeah. You know, and that's something that's really special.
Yeah, I think we probably have some similar stories and things, you know, obviously those times when, I still look back now, when we probably used to do 10% of the events that we do now, yep. But we were doing 100% of the events that were then.
Yes.
And we were in the van, yes. From here to here, and then get up at 3 in the morning, oh, I didn't have to get up today or whatever.
Right. You know, and there's some real miserable moments, yeah. And it's tough and it's hard, but it's when you look back on it, you think, you know, we achieved that together. You know, it was because of you that I got through that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sometimes I think, we talk about this sometimes as well, when people are out with those experiences, so new people come into the industry now, you know,
yeah.
Events, hospitality, wherever it might be, times are quite different, especially in our business.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah, they're not built for that.
Yeah, they don't go, the resilience thing, like they don't have those shared experiences. But, you know, is it more difficult to do that now when there's a bit more of a generic culture around, oh, well, I get paid by the hour, my hours are done, I'm leaving, or whatever.
Yeah,
you know?
I think there is, because, you know, there is that kind of, that's the way things are now, you know,
yeah.
Work until 3 and that's it, whereas it was part of the culture then.
Yeah. Yeah.
It is a positive, but if you look at the negative, it was always almost expected, whereas now times have kind of changed a wee bit. But what I also think as well, we used to create magical moments, and, you know, we used to have to go over and above for the guest, and that was one of my favourite things.
Yeah.
So as an example, you'd see a family and you'd register that it was maybe the wee boy's birthday, you know, and we would go and get a cake and a candle, or you would know that he was watching a certain cartoon, and we would kind of go above and beyond. And I think that magic still exists, but it's minimal now. Where you find that, you know, I can't believe that person done that for me, I can't believe I experienced that service. That for me is what hospitality is.
Yeah.
But I think that only exists within people, certain individuals.
Absolutely, and you've got to have that.
We've known Lindsay a long time. She told me a story many, many years ago that you were trying to get a piece of business out of a client, and you tried for 7 years in a row, and eventually you broke through and did a great job for the client. She was delighted, and you brought her some flowers.
Yep.
And I think the flowers wasn't just flowers for the client. It was flowers as recognition to you for being persistent. And do you think you can install that same sort of mentality in your team about sometimes in life you've got to dig down and be persistent, have that big vision and value, and also be professional enough to want to work hard to achieve something.
Yeah.
Do you find that is a difficult thing now to pass on to people?
I think it's always, as you've hit a nail on the head there, Stephen, it is difficult because the person's got to have that within them,
mm-hmm.
You know, and some people do, some people don't, and I don't think it's something you can teach.
Yep.
You know, I could say phone that person 7 times and you might get there, but that person will go, I've done 7 times, it's not happening. Somebody else might say, well, I'm phoning that person 14 times until I get the deal,
mm-hmm.
And that's the thing you can't teach. So it's finding these superstars,
yep.
You know, and they do exist in every business.
Sure.
It's just recognising that.
Yep.
And I suppose some people aren't ready to take that next step. But one of my favourite things...
Do you think
things,
they're frightened of failure?
Either that, or they just don't want to... They're happy as they are,
yeah.
You know? And
yeah.
Some people are.
100%.
But I think it's recognising that and saying, you know,
yep.
I see this in you.
Yep.
You know, why don't you try this? Or why don't you come along this kind of journey?
Yep.
And guiding them through that? Because lots of people have done that for me,
sure.
In my career.
Absolutely.
So it's finding that.
Yeah, it's about the people that pull you along a little bit sometimes, isn't it?
Yeah.
You know, and sometimes it can be pushing as well. Like, you know, it's not always great managers. It might be people that you're working for you that make you, inspire you to go that little bit extra or do the thing. And I really like we talk about your guests and the people that you want to create magic moments for, because I think even for us, you know, we really base our ethos around that in particular.
Yes.
You know, lots of people come to our experiences expecting something, and we obviously get paid for that service, but it's what we deliver, the value that we deliver, and it's play this song at that time, and all those things are the extra bits that really create something special, doesn't
yeah,
it? You
know? Yeah. Understanding their outcome,
yes.
You know, and feeling it.
Or like understanding them, I suppose, because you want to kind of attach some sort of emotion to it,
yeah,
you
yeah.
know, with the song yeah, or, yeah. you know, the welcome card, or, you know, you find out a fact about yeah. somebody and,
yep.
and they leave and you've made an imprint, yeah. and as cheesy as it sounds, they leave and they think that was really special.
Yeah, they feel you felt
yes.
it's their importance.
Yep.
Yeah.
You know, it's really important to me. But you really understand it's important to me and you went out of your way to help.
Yeah, I think even just like, you know, you'll have done it yourself. You can put like a logo up my screen or whatever, but you maybe take it a step further and put a logo yeah. on a cupcake for somebody.
Yes.
You know, it's not much, but they think, yeah. well, that person's made that effort, you know, yeah. and you've connected with that person and
yeah.
and they then remember that. So, yeah, I always think that's super important.
Yeah. Yeah,
I think one great. Of the things that we've said to our team, especially on very special events like Christmas, this is once a year for the children and the families. We've got to absolutely blow them away and make it magical for them. We do it every single day, but this is their day,
yeah.
whether it's a Christmas event or Halloween event or party event, which is part of our business. And so that the Santa Claus is the Santa Claus
yeah,
to
it makes
children.
It, for them, doesn't
it makes it really special for them. Yeah. And the effort you put into sometimes isn't rewarded financially because it costs you a little bit more, but what you feel as a professional person is more than worth it.
Absolutely, because that person would then say, oh, that was amazing, I'm going to go to something else that Team Challenge do, or I'll always remember Team Challenge Company,
yeah. Yeah.
you know, and I'll recommend it to, you know, a colleague or a friend, and that's really what keeps it going then, isn't
yeah.
it?
Yep. And it's definitely in yourself, isn't it? You know, it's the value that you place on your own efforts there.
Yep.
Because yeah. it would be easy to take the shortcuts, or it'd be easy to, and again, just even in my own head, had a client recently that for whatever reason, we were probably, put it politely, they couldn't afford our service. Yep. And they said, could I just do something that that was cheaper for them? And I just don't bring the iPads or don't bring the TVs or whatever. And I would rather, like, and in fact, I got back to him and said, listen, I'll just take some money off yeah. so that I can do it for you. I don't want to lower the value,
yes.
diminish the value of what we provide, because that's what is special.
Yeah.
Because anybody else can turn up with a bit of paper and go, here's a few questions. For us, they wanted the game show experience because they'd seen a game show experience. So regardless of whether we chose for them to pay the money or not, they'll get our game show experience.
Yes.
And it's that choice that's
yeah.
important, I think.
Non-negotiables, isn't it?
Non-negotiables, yeah, very well put, yeah.
How have you found with the teams and your roles to now in how you manage their well-being and things? Or has that become more important or as you transition through your career, I guess?
It's been the same. I think it's having that genuine care without, you're obviously your work colleagues, so you've got to kind of judge, you know, how the conversation goes and how close you are to each person. But I think it's recognising, are they their self today,
yeah.
you know, or are they a bit off? So it's just, I think it's all about knowing your people.
Yeah.
So I think that's really, really important.
So would you say that you see a little bit more of well-being within the community in hospitality now than in the past? Or would that be a fair, you know, analysis?
I think it's spoken about more now
yeah.
and there's a lot more kind of campaigns. So I know that a lot of companies do have like well-being programmes.
Yeah.
You know, you can get access to lots of different well-being things like gym and talk and therapies and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So I think it's recognised more. Certainly the company I work for,
yeah.
the HR team and the well-being is very recognised
yeah,
and talked
yeah.
about. Yeah,
I think as well it's because you mentioned it earlier, Lindsay, you know, it's notoriously a difficult industry to be in because of challenging times, long hours, especially nowadays. You know, you hear a lot about like reduced staff numbers, and obviously there's lots of outside influences and pressures on salaries and all those kind of things. So I think to know that you're working in an organization that puts that at the forefront, you know, the well-being of their staff and their team, it always helps retain the talent, keep the talent, and have people like yourself wanting to drive that business
yeah,
forward, isn't it?
Absolutely. And I think the important thing to note is, particularly in the hotel industry, a lot of our hotels that are perhaps not in the city centre don't really have a high turnover of staff
mm-hmm.
because they're in, like, you know, I know one of our properties, the Doubletree Strathclyde, that's where I first started.
Yeah.
But, you know, one of the ladies there is celebrating her 25th anniversary
oh,
in the hotel.
Amazing, isn't it?
So there's about four or five of those. They're all ladies. They're all still there. So when you walk into that hotel, you know,
yeah.
I'll know that Shona, the wee mammy's going to come down
yeah.
to hi, hey, you know, here's your tea and you know, she's always looking after you. And
feels like
and
home.
I think when new people join, you feel that. Yeah. You can feel that within an organisation. Yeah. Again, I keep talking about this feeling, and it keeps coming up, but you can sense that. You can sense that there's a family feel as well. So that's
really important, isn't it?
It is, and it doesn't exist in a lot of places. So I suppose when somebody walks into a new job and can feel that straight away, that they think, well, I've made the right decision here. You know, I'm going to stay.
That feeling's really important for ourselves working in venues throughout the UK and beyond. That feeling of being welcomed is really important to us. You know, whether the team are coming in, they're doing some fun games, competitions, or serious team building. To want to feel welcomed is a great thing rather than think that you're the enemy. Mm-hmm. We're all trying to work together to deliver a very special experience for the client, whatever they're looking for, and to feel that you're part of that is very special. And the good hotels and the good venues do it seamlessly and do it well and love it. And other ones, it's a challenge, and you always remember that.
You do. And I'm just thinking back to the first time I met Stephen, and you'll remember this as well.
Prison and Peterhead. No disrespect to Peterhead.
We weren't supposed to say that. I was in a hotel, and Stephen had come in, not kind of off the cuff, I think, and asked to speak to the salesperson. Mm-hmm. And I booked appointment, and they said, there's a chap outside, you know, he's wanting to speak to you about opportunities. And I'd looked out, and I saw this guy with crazy hair, and I thought, I'll go out and I'll speak to him. Yeah.
What are you talking about?
We sat down, we had a coffee, and we started our usual rants, and I left feeling energised, and I'm a bit wired anyway, I'm a bit like Stephen, so that's hard to do. And I thought, I would really like to go and, you know, start working and doing it. And I suppose that's important as well, is giving people the time.
Yeah, the opportunity. Yeah.
And I know I might have been busy and I couldn't have went out, but we'd have booked an appointment after that. But there would have been a lot of people that maybe said, you know, I don't have time, you know, book an appointment. So,
and we often come upon that. You know, when we're at a venue and we're setting up, we have probably an hour, 2 hours to set up. We do what we do for 2 or 3 hours, then we've got our breakdown. Certainly within that time, it would be nice for someone from the venue to come out and say, everything gone well? Yes. Hello? What more can we get out of you? Personally, I'm always up for a free cup of tea, and it was lovely to have that cup of tea with you. But we just experienced it recently at a venue we're working at, where we asked for the sales manager. She came out right away. She was keen and enthusiastic. She was young, and she was just new into the role. But you could tell her eyes lit up by the fact that she could work with us to develop her business.
Yeah.
And that's what makes all the difference.
Absolutely.
Rather than being seen as the enemy, someone you just want to get rid of, get them out the door, and then sit back and wait for business to happen. Business does not happen. No. You must create the environment to make it happen. And that's a people skill.
It's all about the relationships.
Absolutely.
So throughout, people would always say, what's the most important thing in sales, or how do you get the sale? And it is through authentic, for me, it's through having these real authentic relationships with clients and customers.
Yep.
And that's why they buy, you know. So again, it's all about the whole feeling of it and building that relationship.
And that's hard to get people to do that.
Yes, it is.
It is hard.
It used to take it for granted, but now you have to train it in.
Yeah.
Yep.
Because you can't just expect it to happen, I don't think, anymore.
No, and I think a lot of the time, when I used to do it at the very, very beginning, it was all done through the telephone.
Yeah,
and it's very easy to build a rapport through the phone.
Yeah.
What I'm finding now is it's all in an email. So it's
one shot.
It's quite difficult to start to create that rapport or find out what is this client like. You know, are they a red or are they a yellow? What's their personality? You can't get that through an email. So I would say that's a huge challenge.
Yeah.
Just now with them.
That's where the social media can help, I suppose, because they call or they're spoken. They already have a perception that they want to be with, you know, to understand you. Yeah. Which didn't exist in the past, I guess.
Yeah, but as I say, the AI thing is a positive, and that whole side's a positive, but there's also negative sides to that as well, because it stops you having that human-to-human contact. So it's picking and choosing when is the right human touch or, a computer.
Yeah. Lindsay, I got a crazy one. If you come onto the podcast, you have to tell us a crazy story, because you're in hospitality. I bet you've seen loads of things, but you can kind of...
You don't have to mention names.
Yeah. No names, is there any point or any story you could tell us that involved the team and they got a win, or perhaps, you know, a funny moment that you could share?
So it's just going back on the whole kind of the people thing, and there's a lot of incentives now within companies for the operational staff to find sales leads. So like, you talk to the customer eating their dinner and find out, you know, what company they work for, if they've got events.
Yeah.
But years and years ago there wasn't, and my dad and my mum have always kind of been over the mantra, always be yourself. So I'm a bit like you guys, chat to anybody wherever I am.
Yeah.
And years and years ago, I was my first sales job, and my dad was flying somewhere, and he was on a plane, so he was going somewhere for work, and when he landed, he said, "Lindsay, I spoke to this cracking guy in the plane." He says, "And I've got a really big sales lead for you." I said, "You're joking." He says, "No." So the chap actually worked for Horse Scotland the times we were talking about 15 years ago. Big conference. He says, "We had nattered all the way over." He says, "He gave me all his details." He said, "And he'll move this piece of business." He says, "And you do the show round." And I said, "Brilliant." And to my boss the next day, got a sales lead from my dad. He met the guy in the plane. Blah, blah, blah. She says, "Right, okay, get him in and we'll do him a show round." And confirmed.
That's insane. That's so cool, isn't it?
Just through a genuine chat. Yeah. Like, "Oh, where are you off to?" "Oh, I'm going to a conference. Where are you off to?" And then I don't know how they got on. "Where does your daughter work?" "Yeah, she works in hotels." And then before you know it, you get a sales lead.
Yeah, I've got a daughter.
Did your dad get the commission?
No.
On behalf of all the dads out there, he should have got commission.
Yeah, well done. Lindsay, listen, a great story. And, you know, probably brings us more to a wee round of conclusion there, which I want to ask you, after all that we've learned today and your amazing time in your career, you've obviously done lots of different jobs, different roles, and you're being amazingly successful right now. If someone, there's another 15-year-old Lindsay out there somewhere who's thinking about taking their first step into the world of work, they're thinking about hospitality, would you be recommending it? What would you suggest would be a good place to start for them? And what would you say are the skills that they'll require to really, you know, drive through and become someone like you one day?
I would say go for it sooner for different opportunities. And the reason I say that is you'll never feel ready. You never actually feel, you know, I'm very much like a planner. I'll do that, but I'll wait till I feel ready.
Yeah.
And most recently, things have come up that I've went for that I haven't felt fully ready for.
Yeah.
And I've been kind of, you know, feeling my way through and using guidance and support and actually realising sooner that I could have done this. You know, I can do this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's just been a recent learning. So I would tell 15-year-old Lindsay that, to say, just do it. Go for it now. Don't wait 6 months. So, feel the fear and do it anyway, as they say. That's what I would say to anybody at any time. So it's easy when you've got the battle scars and you've done it and you can learn. But you just go for it and believe in yourself.
Feel the fear and do it anyway. Yeah. I'm writing that down.
That's a belter.
Yeah. Lindsay, listen, thanks so much for your generous time today. Love the conversation. It's been amazing to have you,
Lindsay. It's been great to see you again. It's always a pleasure, and I know we'll meet up again soon.
Yes, definitely.
Yeah, thanks very much, Lindsay. It's been eye-opening.
It's been great to see you.
And to you, Lindsay. Thanks so much for joining us on this episode of the Team Builders Podcast. For more insights, ideas and inspiration, head to teamchallenge-company.co.uk or follow us on social media. We would love to engage with you there. For everything else, we look forward to catching you again on the Team Builders Podcast.